الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Okay, so والإيمان, so we are number 80, الحمد لله. والإيمان هو الإقرار باللسان والتصديق بالجنان. So إيمان, faith, entails assertion with one's tongue, so with the tongue, and conviction in the heart. So there's an aspect of physically affirming that you're a believer. And of course, there's also a locale where faith is situated in one's heart. Imam Maturidi rahimahullahu ta'ala summarizes this quite neatly. There are ulama that differ upon what is iman, what is iman, what is faith. Imam Maturidi in his book neatly, I guess, summarizes what it means, is that faith in reality, my friends, is to have a conviction in your heart, a sense of conviction in your heart. But because what's in your heart is a hidden matter, and we mere mortals cannot determine the reality of what lies in your heart, the lawgiver, the Sharia, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, has made it, i.e. it's the affirmation of the tongue, a proof towards it, an indication of it, right? So if a person says they're a believer, then by necessity of them saying publicly that they're a believer, the Sharia will apply to them. So in order for us to practically know, for example, is this person a Muslim, and should he then the laws of Islam be applied to him, or is he a non-Muslim? So should the laws of his own religion be applied to him? They have to physically affirm that they're a Muslim, for example. Okay. So if, for example, someone had conviction in his heart, but they didn't affirm it with their tongue, in Allah's sight, they would be considered a believer. So there might be people out there who, for one reason or another, may not have declared their faith openly, but with Allah, in the law, they'll be considered a believer. But for me and you, because we don't know, we cannot make that determination. So for worldly purposes, for pragmatic purposes, to be able to conduct with them accordingly, they need to make a public affirmation of their faith. Okay? Because of course, Allah knows what's in people's hearts, and Allah knows of this person's conviction. But because they haven't publicly said it, in terms of their ruling in this world, they won't be considered a believer because they haven't publicly affirmed this religion that they belong to, because there's no affirmation or there's no indication. Some ulama would say, well, even if he doesn't say it, if we see him praying, etc., then that's an indication that we can consider him to be believers. And it's basically, this whole idea is based upon a very simple principle, which is that in this world, we can only hold people accountable to standards that are obvious to us, the zahir. We can't look into people's hearts and make determinations. We can simply know that if the person says that they're a believer, and it could be the other way around, they might say publicly that they're a believer, and in their heart they're a disbeliever. We can't do anything because they've publicly said it, they're a believer. Of course, with Allah, the matter may be different. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ultimately, Jalla wa ala, is responsible for judging people according to their innermost state. Okay. And this is what you will get from, generally speaking, the fuqaha. Now, you'll find other ulama who will say that, for example, that affirmation with the tongue, like conviction, is an integral part of faith. And they say that it's an, except that it's an additional integral part. Okay? So it's a rukn zaid. So basically what you're saying is you have to affirm with the tongue, but like conviction, it's essential to the faith, but it's kind of like an extra rukn. So the reason they do that is sometimes you might be under coercion to reject your faith. And to save your life, you will say you're not a believer publicly, but because you're under coercion, and they say it's an extra part, then they say, okay, fine. In that case, you're okay. Okay. The main thing here is the integral part, which is the rukni asli, which is that you have conviction in your heart. And that's something that no one can take from you. So even if someone forces you to reject your faith, if you have conviction in your heart, indallah, with Allah, you're still a believer. Okay? But that's because it's done under coercion. But if you openly reject your faith freely, without any conviction, then you left Islam, both ways, publicly and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? This is the meaning, the words of the author, when he says, faith is affirmation with the tongue and conviction in the heart. Okay? Now, actions, of course, are not part of the reality of faith. Some scholars do hold the position that faith is conviction in the heart, affirmation with the tongue, and action with the limbs. This is ascribed to some Shafi'i scholars, some scholars who follow Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, etc. So there's some sort of disagreement here. But we say Iman is iqrar bil lisan wa tasdeeq bil janan, that you affirm it with your limbs, if you like. To move on to the next one. وَأَنَّ جَمِيعَ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي الْقُرْآنِ وَجَمِيعَ مَا صَحَّ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنَ الشَّرْعِ وَالْبَيَانِ كُلُّهُ حَقٌّ. And that everything Allah has revealed in the Quran and everything that is verified from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam concerning what has come from him in terms of the sacred law, we believe that all to be true. So once you have established essentially that Allah, God, has revealed the Quran and that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is truthful, and then it's just another step affirming the authenticity of the entire Quran and the hadith that have been authentically transmitted from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in terms of telling us what the Sharia is about. Believing that what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said was true, he was immune from any form of falsehood. And this essentially for Imam Tahawi gives you a comprehensive belief in every detail that has been transmitted by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even though you don't know about it all. You're not a scholar, you don't have the time to read everything, but you believe everything that has reached us from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, everything that's in the Quran, even though you may not be fully aware of it, but you trust that everything has reached us from the in terms of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and you believe in all of that as well. So we're not obligated to know all the details, because that's kind of difficult. So saying that, you must believe in every detail and know of every detail of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and every verse of the Quran and what it means, that's kind of taklifu ma la yutaq. That's like placing an obligation upon people, which is inhumane. You can't expect every brother or sister who's a Muslim to know the details of the Sharia. But they have to believe that everything that has come from Allah, everything that's mentioned in the Quran, all the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, are indeed necessary for us to believe in. Okay? So this is a beautiful middle position in the Sharia, that we aren't, while we have to believe in these things, we don't have to know about the details. We just have to believe that everything that has come in a general way is true from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course, what's mentioned in the Quran. The next one is an interesting one. That's wal imanu wahidun wa ahluhu fi aslihi sawa'un wa tafadulu baynahum bil khashyati wa tuqa wa mukhalafati al hawa wa mulazamati al awla. So this is the next one, that 82, that faith is one reality and the people of faith are essentially the same. Okay, any disparity, any difference that emerges among them is a result from the distinctions in knowledge, piety, struggle, adherence to different types of priorities. So in a general sense, as a genus, we are all same indallah. Okay, this is why he says, Imam Tahawi, when he says wal imanu wahidun, faith is one, because faith is an expression for conviction in everything that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam conveyed. Okay, there's no disparity between the mukallaf in this, the person who's responsible. Okay, and when he says that wa ahluhu fi aslihi sawa'un, its people are in principle or equal, this is demonstrating that the faith of the people in Jannah and the angels and those of the earth, men and jinn, is in principle one. It's the same faith. Okay, in other words, a conviction in Allah's tawheed, affirmation of His essence, His actions. These are all things that are necessary to believe in, and they all believe in the same thing. Okay, so in this regard, we are all equal. You believe in the same thing that I believe in. So therefore, in that regard, we are equal. You will be in Jannah, inshallah, and I will be in Jannah, inshallah, ta'ala. So in that regard, we are, of course, equal. Okay? And this is something that Imam Abu Hanifa, may Allah be pleased with him, in a book that's been ascribed to him, Al-Alim wal-Mut'allim, he says that our faith is like the faith of the angels. We believe in Allah Most High, His oneness, His unity, and whatever has come from Him. In the same way the angels have affirmed and the prophets and the messengers have confirmed. Okay? So our faith is like their faith. Of course, they, i.e., surpasses in terms of reward for faith on all acts of worship which are beyond the basis of faith. In fact, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them prophets superior to the rest of humanity through prophethood. He has likewise made their worship and reward superior. They are the trustworthy slaves of Allah, and no one among humanity comes close to them in their level of worship and fear. So we share this sameness in belief, but when it comes to our aspirations, when it comes to our ibadah, though it's the same, they are superior because their worship by virtue of their station with Allah is superior, of course. And this demonstrates that the essence of faith neither increases or decreases. Okay, since its essence is having conviction in all that is necessary to believe in, and that neither increases nor decreases. If you believe in everything that Rasulullah came with, everything that's mentioned in the Quran, you can't increase and decrease in it. We all believe in it, and so we're all the same in it, and that doesn't increase or decrease. Okay. As for when Allah mentions increase about faith in the Quran, لِيَزْدَادُ إِيمَانَهُمْ chapter 8, verse number 2. Or Allah says in the Quran, for example, in chapter 48, verse number 4, and that they might add to their faith. And other such verses where this increase is mentioned, this is to be understood in terms of an increase in the fruits of faith by performing righteous actions and the nur, and its clarity that will come for one person. So inshallah, the more we do, the more you have faith, which everybody has, is the same, but your deeds, your sincerity, your piety, all these things that we've just mentioned, they will increase, that the fruits of your faith will increase. Okay? So it's not an increase in faith, but the fruits of your faith will increase. Okay? And then, وَالْمُؤْمِنُ, next one. وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ كُلُّهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ الرَّحْمَنِ وَأَكْرَمُهُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى أَتْوَعُهُمْ وَأَتْبَعُهُمْ لِلْقُرْآنِ. Subhanallah. All the believers are friends of Allah, and the noblest of them with Allah is the one who is most obedient and the one who is committed to the Quran, God's speech. Okay, so he's saying this is not about race or gender for us. We are all friends of Allah, we are all awliya ar-Rahman. It's interesting, he says awliya ar-Rahman to underline the fact that Allah is merciful, and we should, as awliya ar-Rahman, display mercy towards His slaves. Okay, because Allah is the one, of course, who takes care of all your needs, and He assists you, He protects you, He enables you to do good, gives you guidance, gives you ma'rifah, etc. Okay, then he says, wal iman. In some books, it will say, wa aslul iman. What is the what is the asal of iman? What is the essence of faith, my friends? Well, iman billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal yawm al-akhir wal qadr khayrihi wa sharrihi wa hulwihi wa murrihi min Allah ta'ala wa nahnu mu'minun bidhalika kulluh la nufarriqu bayna ahadin min rusulihi wa nusaddiquhum kulluhum ala ma ja'u bi. So what is the essence of faith? Everything that's been listed there in front of you: belief in God, His angels, His books, His messengers, the last day, resurrection, the divine decree, whether it's good or evil from our perspective, sweetness and bitterness, or all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. So let's move on to the next one, inshallah ta'ala. This is to do, number 85 is to do with those who are from those, not 85, we've just done that one. Sorry, 86 here. Alhamdulillah. So 86 is looking at the people who are major sinners, people who unfortunately fall into major sin. Allah, so what is the ruling about them? Okay. So it says, wa ahlul kaba'ir. Kaba'ir here means people of major sins, who commit major sins. Min ummati Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Interesting. Can you see what he's saying? They are from the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you know straight away what he's going to, what he's not going to say. He's not going to make them people who are going to be in Jahannam forever. And that's exactly what it says. La yakhluduna. Sorry, min ummati Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bin nari. La yakhluduna idha matu wa hum muwahidun. Those people who are from the community of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not be in Jahannam forever, as long as they died as muwahidun. They believe in Allah. وَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُونُوا تَائِبِينَ بَعْدَ أَنْ لَقُوا اللَّهَ عَارِفِينَ مُؤْمِنِينَ. So even if they died as monotheists, this includes those who didn't get a chance to repent, unrepentant. But when they met Allah, they met Him as those who recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a Muslim, he dies, he is committing a major sin beforehand, he's not had a chance to repent. Of course, repentance is very, very important. But he dies as a monotheist, even though he's stained by sin. As long as he doesn't associate partners with Allah, then eventually he will enter Jannah. Of course, he might be forgiven. But even if he has to go to the fire and we seek Allah's protection, eventually he will enter Jannah. And he will not eternally abide in the fire. He will leave hell and enter paradise, inshallah. This is, of course, a refutation here. I've mentioned this before, against a sect called the Mu'tazila, who held a position that God's justice demands that this person must be in Jahannam forever, okay, and then never leave, because they believe, or rather we believe, this is a difference of opinion, that a major sinner is still a believer. Whereas according to them, anyone who commits a major sin is not a believer. So if he doesn't repent, he is a disbeliever, and thus he will be in the fire forever. We've talked about this before as well. But we say he's still a believer, and he will not, as a consequence of his belief, remain in the fire forever. And ultimately, Allah will grant him Jannah. And Allah talks about this in the Quran. For example, in chapter 18, verse 107, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those who perform righteous, believe and perform righteous actions, they will have gardens of paradise as their abode. Okay. So he performed his fast, performed his salah, but for one reason or another, he succumbed to his desires, and he committed a grave sin, but he believed in it. I mentioned last time that he didn't, commit the sin thinking that it's not a sin or rejecting it. He knew that what he was doing was wrong. It was a moral failing on his behalf. Still, inshallah ta'ala, he will enter the garden, iznillahi ta'ala. Okay? And Allah forgives Allah forgives all sins, but of course Allah does not forgive that person who associates a partner with him, right? But besides that, as mentioned in chapter 4, verse 48, Allah can forgive whatever else He wishes, okay? Because Allah mentions in the Quran Himself that those who ascribe partners to Allah are unforgivable. But Allah instilled hope in attaining forgiveness for anything else. And this is contingent upon Allah's will. Right? It's not impossible that Allah can, He can forgive a person and He can do whatever He wishes. So if Allah wants, it's perfectly possible for Him to forgive a major sinner and even not admit him into hell. Or Allah can send him to hell and remove him from hell out of His compassion. Okay. Because Allah mentions in chapter 13, verse number 6, indeed, your Lord is full of forgiveness for mankind despite their wrongdoing. Okay. So this verse demonstrates that there's a possibility that of forgiveness before repentance. So a lot of discussion here, but the basic point for us here, my friends, is that a major sinner will not, as a believer, will not abide in the fire for eternity. That's the basic point, okay? Then he talks about the major sinners. So let's go back to number 86. وَهُمْ فِي مَشِيئَتِي وَحُكْمِهِ وَهُمْ فِي مَشِيئَتِهِ وَحُكْمِهِ إِنْ شَاءَ غَفَرَ لَهُمْ وَعَفَى عَنْهُمْ بِفَضْلِهِ كَمَا ذَكَرَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي كِتَابِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. And they, i.e. the major sinners, are under Allah's mashiyya, Allah's choice, if you like, as is His judgment. If He wills, He can forgive them and pardon them out of His grace. Because Allah Himself says in the Quran, وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لَمَنْ يَشَاءُ, but He forgives anything else to whom He pleases. Okay, so you cannot say, in essence, this is the middle position, you cannot say, for example, that a person who is a major sinner will be punished or rewarded. We just make a general statement, is that if they die unrepentant, they are under Allah's volition, mashiyya. If He wills, He pardons them out of His grace and mercy. And this can be through the intercession of a prophet, as we talked about before, or a friend that he had. That's why having a good friend is very, very important. Someone from His or from Allah's servants, or if Allah wishes, Allah can punish him with a punishment that's commensurate with the crime. And then Allah, then once he is purified, Allah can grant him Jannah, inshallah ta'ala. We ask Allah to protect us from the fire and grant us all Jannah to Firdaus, inshallah ta'ala. Again, this is this particular phrasing here from Imam Tahawi is in reference to certain deviant sects that emerge, okay? And then just at the end of 86 here, وَإِنْ شَاءَ عَذَّبَهُمْ فِي النَّارِ بِعَدْلِهِ ثُمَّ يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنْهَا بِرَحْمَتِهِ وَشَفَاعَةِ الشَّافِعِينَ مِنْ أَهْلِ طَاعَتِهِ ثُمَّ يَبْعَثُهُمْ إِلَى جَنَّتِهِ. So what I've just said, that if He pleases, He punishes them in the fire by His justice and then removes them by His grace and through the intercession of those Allah grants it to among His obedient servants. So, you know, being an obedient servant, it's such a powerful thing, because it's not that only you will enter paradise, but you will be able to intercede for others. It's beautiful. Allahu Akbar. Your piety, your goodness, your virtue does not only flower in this world, but it also provides shade for people in the Akhirah, provides salvation for other people in the Akhirah. Subhanallah, it's beautiful. So, you know, what a wonderful way to live, that you'll have friends, inshallah, that you can intercede for by virtue of your piety, by virtue of your goodness. Allah grant us that. It's such a humanistic, Sunniism is so humanistic. It's so beautiful, full of mercy, you know, full of mercy, that by virtue of you of being you being a good person, and you know, you had friends who failed morally, but you can help them. You can intercede on their behalf, Jalla wa ala. Okay. Allahu Akbar. It's filled with hidayah. Okay. And then number 87. وَذَٰلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى تَوَلَّى أَهْلَ مَحْرِفَتِهِ. That is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is because Allah takes care of those who acknowledge Him. He did not treat them, He did not treat them in both abodes, either both of this world and that of the next. Okay. كَأَهْلِ نُكْرَتِهِ, like those who deny Him. Of course, those who refuse Allah subhanahu, recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they refuse to acknowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And الَّذِينَ خَابُوا مِنْ هِدَايَتِهِ وَلَمْ يَنَالُوا مِنْ وِلَايَتِهِ. They are the ones who denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They've been deprived of His guidance and were not afforded the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. So we know from our sharia, from our text, from our books, that those who acknowledge Allah, namely the Muslims, and those who deny Him, i.e. the disbelievers, are not treated equally in the life to come. Allah says in the Quran, verse 21, chapter 45, do those who commit evil suppose that we shall hold them equal with those who believe and do righteous actions? Shall we treat those who believe and do righteous actions the same as those who sow corruption on earth? They are not the same. They are not equal. Okay? And of course, wisdom necessitates the superiority of those who acknowledge Allah over those who deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Because if everybody went to the fire, there would be no distinction between the believers, us, and those who reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So otherwise there would be no point of having faith and acknowledgement. We were going to all be thrown into the fire. Okay. And there's many ahadith. And then he says something very, very fascinating at the end. Allahumma, this is at the end of 87 here. Allahumma la ya waliyal Islam wa ahlihi thabbitna al-islami ala hatta nalqaka bihi. O Allah, Jalla wa ala, protector of Islam and its followers, keep us rooted in Islam until we meet you in that state. Okay? Because being firm upon faith, dying with faith, necessitates, inshallah ta'ala, for all of us, the gardens of paradise and closeness to Allah with all the comforts that entails and the pleasures and the joy that it entails. So we ask Allah to keep us firm upon this faith. This is like Yusuf alayhi salatu salam in chapter 12, verse 101. Make me die as a Muslim and unite me with the righteous. This is a supplication that we should recite often and ask Allah to grant it to us bi-iznillahi ta'ala. Okay, so the last one here on this page, but not last one, 88 here. This looks at the status of a believer. وَنَرَى الصَّلَاةَ خَلْفَ كُلِّ بَرٍ وَفَاجِرٍ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ وَعَلَى مَنْ مَاتَ مِنْهُمْ. So this is really important. This is how we are to look at the status of our brothers and sisters. And we consider performing the congregational prayer behind any people of the Qibla, whether he is righteous or sinful, and to pray over them who has died. This is part of our faith. Okay? And there are many ahadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam that you should perform the prayer behind a righteous person and a sinful person. So this is about maintaining unity, but it's also about, you know, if you start opening the door to where people can start saying, well, we're not going to pray behind this person because he's a sinner. But no one's really perfect, number one. But number two, it's just going to open the door to fitna. And there's this idea of remain united behind one leader, even when you have differences about their particular moral standing, for example. Because if you don't pray behind that person, you're giving the impression that he's a major sinner or even disbelief, right? And this creates huge problems, as you can imagine. So our ulama are very practical. They're very practical people. And there are historical examples. I don't want to get into the history, but you'll find examples where the companions and the successors prayed behind people who were still oppressive. And infallibility from, obviously for us as Sunnis, infallibility from sins is not a prerequisite for the validity of the prayer. Okay. And as for performing prayer over whom has died from our community, you have the example of Ma'iz, where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam performed the prayer over him, even though he had been stoned for committing adultery, right? He was put to death, committing adultery, yet the Prophet Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prayed over him, okay? Because the funeral prayer, from a legal perspective, is the right of Islam, and he is a Muslim who has not left Islam by sinning. So even that particular instance that we have in Sahih Muslim, that particular instance, you find that the Prophet prayed over him, which again proves that even though someone's committed a sin, once they've been absolved or whatever's happened, they're still a Muslim. Okay? Very, very important. This is number 89. وَلَا تُنَزِّلُ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ جَنَّةً وَلَا نَارٍ. We don't assign them, we don't say to them that they're from the Jannah or the hell. Okay? We kind of stay quiet. Okay? Because it's possible that someone might have performed righteous actions, a Muslim might have performed righteous actions, but we don't know the end. In the same way, we don't say someone's going to be from the person of the fire, despite they've sinned, okay? Because the way your life ends is an unseen matter, okay? It's perfectly possible that a person might have lived an immoral life, but dies with iman. Dies in a good way. So we ask Allah to give us husnul khatima. And for example, there might be a person who was righteous, but they died in an immoral way. They had a terrible end. Okay? So we have husnul dhan, but we don't make an absolute judgment about these things. Also, وَلَا نَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِالْكُفْرِ. We don't judge anyone of disbelief, neither shirk, neither nifaq, except when something manifests from them. Okay? Because we can only judge on what's most evident, and Allah is the judge of what's in their heart. So we can only attest to what we know. If it's very, very clear, then you testify, of course. Okay, in Allah, in the Quran, generally, Allah tells us to shun away from these things, right? So if you look at chapter 49, verse number 12, you'll find this meaning, this manner, there present. And he says, وَنَذَرُوا سَرَائِرُهُمْ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَىٰ. And we leave their innermost hearts, the innermost secrets to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is fully of them, all aware of them. Okay, Allah knows what's secret, Allah knows what's hidden. So we leave these things to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next one is here, continuing. وَلَا نَرَى الصَّيْفَ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْ أُمَّةِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِلَّا مَنْ وَجَبَ عَلَيْهِ سَيْفٍ. We don't consider it, my friends, to raise a sword against anyone from the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't engage in violence, in other words. We do not engage in violence. Except for the one is incumbent upon. This usually comes from our leaders who will tell us, but we don't get involved in these things, okay? Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I have been ordered to fight the people until they say there is no God except Allah. If they say that, then their blood, their wealth is protected from me, except what's due, except for its due right. Like if someone apostates, or kisas or something else. Okay, so that's very, very important. We're not too far from the end, so I'm going to stop here, inshallah ta'ala. We'll try and I don't know how many lessons we have left, but inshallah, we'll try and finish. We're not too far from the end. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We'll talk about rebellions again, Muslim readers, in the next video. We might change the timing slightly because I'm traveling to Cambridge next week. So I might struggle. I'm at the Cambridge Mosque for Jummah. So I don't think I'll be able to deliver the lesson next week. So do keep an eye out for that. Any questions? Okay, no questions. Alhamdulillah. We'll stop there then. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you all safe. Subhanallah bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum.